Turn your Bible to the Gospel of John. We're going to be in chapter 5. And as you turn your Bible there, a lady rushed to see her doctor, looking very much worried. She rattles off. She says, "Doc, take a look at me. When I woke up this morning, I looked at myself in the mirror. I saw my hair all wiry and frazzled up. My skin was all wrinkled and pasty. My eyes were bloodshot and bugging out, and I had this corpse-like look on my face. What in the world is wrong with me, Doc?" The doctor looks her over for a couple minutes, and then he calmly says, "Well, I can tell you that there is nothing wrong with your eyesight." That's terrible. Ken, why'd you have me read that? Amen. This morning we are considering the miracles of Jesus, specifically those recorded in the book of John. The Bible tells us that if we read the book of John, we see that there are actually 7 miracles of Jesus specifically recorded in the book of John. In John 20, verses 30 and 31, the Bible says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs or miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these 7, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Amen. And God specifically chose these 7 for a reason. He had a specific purpose for us. And each one of them has an important spiritual message for us that God wants to reveal to our heart. God literally wants us to see that message in the miracle. Let's go to John chapter 5, pick up in verse 1. "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For there's an angel that goes down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water by the angel, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time, Jesus said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him. He said, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down in it before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, 'It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed.' And the man answered and said, 'He who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk.' Then they asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?' But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.'" Here we see one of those 7 miracles that God handpicked, he chose to record in the book of John. And on this Sabbath day, the Bible tells us and shows us that Jesus picked out this particular man, and he asked him a very, very simple question. He said, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed?" And both this man and this question have great spiritual significance. This man, as we looked at last week, he represents all of mankind. He represents you and me. And this question represents the same question that Jesus came to ask all of us. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? And Jesus was not talking about physical healing here. He did not come to be the great healer of the body. Jesus came to be our Savior. The Bible calls him the lover of our soul. And that he truly is. We absolutely believe in the miracle, but we need to wholeheartedly trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to see the past miracle. We need to see past that miracle, the physical. And we need to look unto Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of this message, that we need to see past that miracle and look unto Jesus Christ. We need to look underneath that miracle and see the message that God has set aside for us. Because our spiritual needs far outweigh our physical. Amen? The first thing that we looked at was the first step, and that is to admit, to realize and admit our sickness. Right here in verse 5, it said a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Again, that man is a picture of all of us. We are all spiritually paralyzed without Jesus Christ. Amen? Every single one of us. We are born spiritually paralyzed without Christ. And for most, they go through life and they just flat refuse to admit their sickness. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says, for when we were still without strength. And that's an important part of that verse. When we were still without strength, in due time, meaning at the perfect time, Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength literally means that we are disabled. We are spiritually paralyzed. He's talking about before we knew Christ. Without Christ, we are unsaved. We're spiritually paralyzed. We're totally helpless in that spiritual condition. Now, we consider three factors about our spiritual condition. The first thing we considered was its primary source. In verse 14 of our original text, it says, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and he said to him, see, you have been made well. Did he say to him, don't go back and lie down in your bed anymore? He said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. When Jesus talked about him being made well, he wasn't talking about the fact that he could get up and walk. He was referring to the fact that his sins had been forgiven. He had been spiritually made well. And the primary source of this man's ailment and the primary source of our spiritual paralyzation is sin. It's the same for every one of us. Sin is the primary source. We are all sinners by birth and by choice. Second thing we considered was its paralyzing force. Most only see the physical, and that's why they miss their spiritual condition. That's why most people go around blindly through this world, not realizing, not wanting to admit their spiritual sickness. I'm a good person. God will never leave me out of heaven. Right? Isn't that what every talk show teaches us? That just being a good person, every single one of those mediums that these talk show hosts have on their program, when they ask about their dead mother or grandmother, they always say, oh, every single time, they're where? They're always in heaven. But listen, the Bible makes it very clear, apart from Jesus Christ, we are not spiritually healed and we will not make it into heaven. We need to understand that. It's a paralyzing force. Bible said that when we were without strength, Jesus died for the ungodly. Our purpose that God has set aside for us is to live godly. That's what God's plan is for us. The problem is that we are without strength. That means there is no way on our own that we can live godly, that we can live the way that God wants us to live. We may have strength enough or believe we're strong enough to do the things that we want to do, But we are certainly not strong enough to do the things that we ought to do. Amen. Because we are without strength. Third factor we looked at was his persistent course. This man, being an illustration of all of us, he had been sick for 38 years. He was in bad, bad shape. Desperate need of healing. The longer he was sick, the worse off he continued to get. The same thing is true of our spiritual condition. The longer we are away from Jesus Christ, the worse off we will continue to get. We are in dire, critical need of a cure. And the first step in that cure is that we must realize, we must admit that we're sick. Amen? That's number one. Let's look at step number two. Not only do we have to realize and admit, but we also need to be willing. We need to be willing. Look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Did you catch that one simple little word? Do you want to be made well? As was the case with that man, the same is true with all of us. You must be willing to be healed by Jesus Christ. Amen? You must be willing to want to be made well. We need to understand that God will never force Himself on anyone. Amen? Never force Himself. He will enable our will, but He will never force our will. He created us with a free will to choose. If you want to come to Jesus Christ, you may. But if you choose not to, God will never force you to come. Amen. We need to understand that. The Bible makes it very clear. It says over and over, whosoever will. That means whoever has that desire, whoever is willing to come, they may come. But God will never force it. There are not enough angels in heaven to make you come, and there are not enough demons to stop you from coming if it's your will to come. Amen? We need to praise God for that one. And Jesus is asking all of us, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed spiritually? Now we need to understand that the free will of man does not negate the sovereignty of God. Amen? Just because God created us with a free will, it's not taking away His sovereignty. There are a lot of Bible scholars out there or Christians that get confused with that idea. Many ultra-Calvinists or ultra-Arminians have an issue with this truth. Myself, I'm a Calminian. I'm in between. Not ultra one way, ultra the other way, because the Bible's right in the middle. The Bible makes it very clear that God does not pick and choose who He will take to heaven. Amen? The Bible makes it very clear. He says, whosoever will. That means He has created us with a free will to choose Jesus Christ or not to. It's that simple. God will never force us. God will never pick and choose who He's going to take to heaven. Otherwise, He would have to pick and choose who has to remain behind and go to hell. That's not God's character. Amen? Jesus verified that truth by asking this man. Jesus didn't just walk up to him and said, "Hey, arise, take up your bed and walk," did He? He asked him that question first. He said, "Do you want to be made well?" God's desire is that none of us go to hell. Amen? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but He is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. What is the root word of the word willing? It's will, right? God's will is that none of us should perish, but that all of us. What does all mean? All means all, and that's all that all means, right? And when the Bible says that it's that God is not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's heart desire. He does not desire to see anyone die and go to hell. Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Does it say only the ones who I handpick? It doesn't. It says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." They will be saved. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 41. Jesus talking about the judgment. "Then he will also say to those on his left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" The everlasting fire, Jesus was talking about hell. And the Bible makes it very clear here that hell was not created for man. Hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels. The only way that we end up in hell is if we choose out of our own free will to reject the redemption offered by Jesus Christ, and in doing so, we choose to follow Satan instead. And where is Satan going? To hell. Amen? God is sovereign enough to create mankind with a free will to either choose Jesus Christ or not to. Amen? Our free will does not negate God's sovereignty. When Jesus asked that simple question, "Do you want to be made well?" He was teaching us an important spiritual truth. He was showing us that God will never force himself onto anyone. God will absolutely take the initiative, and he did that by sending Christ to us, didn't he? Did he have to? Absolutely not. But God will always take that initiative. He will always come to us. Why? Because he loved us too much to leave us in that condition. He knew without coming to us, we were completely spiritually paralyzed and without hope. We could never get to him on our own. So Jesus came down to us to meet us right in the middle of that spiritual sickness. That verse we looked at in Romans says that Jesus died for who? The great ones, the nice ones. Said he died for the ungodly, the ones that hated him, the ones that despised him, the very ones that pounded the spikes through his hands and his feet. He died for you and me. He met us right in the middle of our spiritual sickness. He came as our great physician to heal our sin-sick soul. Amen. Jesus asked this man, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed?" Notice he didn't ask, "Do you want to walk?" This man was paralyzed. He couldn't walk, hadn't been able to walk for almost 40 years. He didn't ask him, "Do you want to walk?" He used the words, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed?" And that word healed, or that phrase made well, literally means, "Do you want to be made whole?" W-H-O-L-E. He was referring to that broken inner man. He was referring to that broken soul that we have because of sin. And plain and simple, he was asking him, "Do you want to be healed spiritually?" God doesn't look at what's on the outside. Amen. He doesn't care if in our past we went to the tattoo parlor twice a week. It doesn't matter to him. God is concerned what's on the inside. Amen? He's concerned of what is the condition of our soul. And he asked that man the same question that he asked every single person today. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed spiritually? And he gave us a free will to choose. You must be willing to accept Jesus' free pardon of sin. Bottom line, you must want to be saved. Amen. God's not going to force himself onto you. So the first step is to realize and admit that we are sick. Secondly, we have to be willing to accept Christ as our Savior. And the third step, we have to initiate our walk. Look at verse 7, going back to our original text. The sick man answered Jesus and he said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another one steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well. Immediately he was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. Now remember, the whole purpose of God recording this miracle is for us to see that message within that miracle. The true miracle wasn't the one that we could see. It wasn't the man when he rose and he took up his bed and he began to walk. The true miracle was the spiritual healing done inside of the man, the one that we couldn't see. Amen? John chapter 20, as we started off, we need to remember what Jesus said here. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. This particular miracle that we're talking about today, God says, was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, and in believing that, you may have life in his name. Amen. Jesus said to that man, "Rise, take up your bed," and what was the last thing? Walk. He had to initiate his own walk. Turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at an incredibly well-known passage. Ephesians chapter 2 probably contains one of the best-known passages on salvation. But I want to take that passage and I want us to see and I want us to apply it to this man. Ephesians chapter 2, skip down to verse 8. And as we read through these couple of verses, I want you to notice three prepositions here. By, through, and for, or your translation may say unto. By, through, and unto, or for. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace, that's the first one, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are saved by grace through faith. Verse 10 tells us, for what? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, or unto good works. Think about those three prepositions. By, through, and for. Now let's take that, let's apply it to this man. How was this man made whole? How was he healed? How was he made whole? By what? By grace. The Bible makes it very clear at the edge of that pool in Bethesda were just one man. There were many. Many laid around there. And that man said, in fact, every time he tried to go in, another sick person would beat him to it. So Jesus looked at this one man in particular, and he was made whole by grace. There was nothing that he could do about it, could he? He was paralyzed. He couldn't help his situation. But Jesus, the Bible tells us, immediately made him whole. Salvation is by the grace of God. Think back for a second. Think if you had been standing there. What if all of us had been standing around that pool that day, on that Sabbath? We would have probably said to ourselves, how insensitive to tell this man to rise and walk. We've seen this man here for almost 40 years. He's paralyzed. If he could have stood and walked, he would have done it years ago. That's just insensitive to tell him that. It's actually mean. It's cruel. It's impossible. He's been paralyzed for almost 40 years. And then what happens? He stands up and he walks. Isn't that Christianity? Isn't that Christianity in a nutshell? The unreasonable, the out and out impossible plus Jesus Christ. And then anything becomes possible. Amen. That's the message in the miracle. By His grace, Jesus offers His healing to all of us. That man represents every single one of us, to all who will receive it. So he was made whole by grace, but through what? Through faith. Why would this man rise and walk? He'd been paralyzed, the Bible says, for 38 years. Why even try? The simple answer is that one-letter word, faith. Amen. He was saved, he was made whole by grace, but through faith. This is what Jesus offers all of us. He came down to us in our sin-sick souls, and He said, I have healing, I have forgiveness, I have eternal life in my power. All you have to do is trust in me through what? Through faith. The Bible makes it very clear, the faith of a little child. Amen. The faith of a little child. Faith, we can just think of it as faith is belief with legs on it. Amen. Belief with legs on it. So this man, by grace, he was made whole because he put his faith into action. He was not healed because he walked. He walked because he was healed. Amen. We need to understand that. We are not saved by good works. We are saved by grace through faith. And it was that faith, it was through that faith of how he initiated his walk. Amen. Jesus told him to get up, rise, and walk, but by faith he had to initiate that walk, didn't he? Amen. So that brings us to the third preposition. Saved by grace through faith for or unto good works. You don't live a good Christian life in order to get saved. Amen. That's impossible. We couldn't live good enough. That's why that verse makes it very clear that Christ died for the ungodly. Why? Because we were without strength on our own. We don't live a good Christian life in order to get saved. We live it because we were saved. Amen. That's the only way that we can live a good Christian life. Jesus didn't tell this man, walk, take up your bed, then rise. He didn't say it in that order, did he? He said it in a specific order. First thing he had to do was what? Rise. Then take up his bed, and then walk. He couldn't walk, he couldn't take up his bed until he rose first. Jesus had to lift him up first. By grace, through that man's faith, Jesus lifted him up in order for him to walk. And we cannot live the Christian life until we receive it first. Amen. Colossians 2:6. I want to close on this verse. The Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, then so walk in Him. Amen. As we have received Jesus Christ, our great physician, the lover and healer of our soul, how? By grace, through faith, to do what? Good works. That's what this verse is telling us. As we have received Jesus by grace through faith, then we need to walk in Him. Amen. Saved by grace through faith to do good. Not just good, not just great, but even the impossible through Him.